Thank you. Please be seated. We are blessed this weekend to have seminarian Jeremy Wilson and his wife Shannon and their daughter Honora. They've been with us. Most of you have already met them, and we've just really put them to work here this weekend. And so now he's going to share with us the word God has laid on his heart. After the service, there's going to be that potluck dinner and an opportunity for you to chat with these folks, get to know them, and we just thank, especially, well, you know, having been a seminarian, I know that this is not easy. I mean, this is we took him out of a busy schedule for this, and he's willing to come and to do that. So, thank Jeremy, you. It's all yours.
Thank you. Well, certainly a blessing for us to be here too. The fellowship time we've enjoyed, and just the outright friendliness that we've seen with all the people we've met so far has been outstanding and a great blessing to us. So I want to thank you for that. And it's certainly my honor and privilege to share the word with you this morning, the word that we love and the word of life. And I wanted to share with you this morning a part of the story of Joseph. And a lot of you, I'm sure, are familiar with Joseph's story out of the book of Genesis. But just in case you need a little refresher, I'm gonna give you some background here. The book of Genesis spends a lot of time on Joseph's story. And there's a good reason for that, because God, through these remarkable events in Joseph's life, he is showing to us how it is that God deals with his children. And it's not just them, but it's you and it's me and it's the entire world. So to start with, Joseph's father was Jacob. And this is that Jacob as in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that we see repeated over and over again in the Bible. And Joseph was one of 12 brothers, all of whom are going to form the 12 tribes of Israel. And Joseph was just a flat-out brat. I mean, he was awful. His father loved him more than any of his brothers, and he loved to remind his brothers of that fact. His father loved him the best. And he loved to tell his brothers about these special dreams of his and how his brothers were going to bow down to him one day. And long story short, they set out to kill him. They wanted him gone. But they changed their mind. After throwing him in a well, they changed their mind and they sold him off into slavery into Egypt. And this ability to have dreams and to interpret dreams really came in handy for Joseph while he was in Egypt. He was able to save Egypt from a terrible famine in the land. And so he climbed the ranks of Egypt's government until he was pretty much on the same level as Pharaoh. And it was through his time in Egypt that God was able to preserve his family from dying in that same famine. And so I'm going to continue the story of Joseph this morning, reading about how God is continuing to work through Joseph's life and continuing to work through those around him. So remember, it's not just Joseph learning about today. We are learning about exactly how God deals with his people today, right here. So if you have a Bible with you, I'd invite you to turn with me to the book of Genesis. And you can follow along as I read from chapter 45. Chapter 45, and to start with, I'll read verses 1 through 7. And there's plenty to talk about in that little bit. Genesis chapter 45, verses 1 through 7. Reading in Jesus' name. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard all about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed, and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will not be plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance." Now, I was reading, I was watching Undercover Boss a while back. And I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with this show. They had that Dutch Brothers Coffee here on Undercover Boss not long ago. But if you're not familiar with the show, what they do is they pick the boss of a large corporation, okay, and it's going to be like Dutch Brothers, or it's going to be Subway, or Roto-Rooter, DirecTV, one of those. And they take the suit off him, they dress him down, and they try to get him hired on as a worker in his own company. And so the episode I was watching, it happened to be about the boss, the CEO of 7-Eleven. And he's getting hired on as a clerk in one of his own gas stations. And the reason why he's there is he's trying to find out what his employees really think of him and the company. He's trying to get them to say the kinds of things that they wouldn't normally say to him. And you've got to understand that most of these bosses have absolutely no idea how to work in one of the own stores. I mean, this guy was spilling pop all over the floor trying to fix the machine. He was messing up the cash register and just not treating customers well. And eventually the owner of this particular gas station has to pull him aside and bring him into his office and just dress him down. I mean, can you imagine? Here's this store manager just upbraiding his CEO, not knowing who he is. And later on in the episode, when the undercover boss, he has the chance to talk with the store manager after the store's kind of calmed down a little bit. Well, the store manager just unloads on him all the things that are wrong with the company. And, I mean, he's got staffing problems, he's got shipping problems, he's got product that isn't available when he needs it, and orders are a pain to place. And so now this CEO is getting just an earful of everything this guy thinks is wrong with the company. Well, at the very end of the episode, the store manager is called into the 7-Eleven headquarters, and he's been asked to meet with the CEO of the company. And so, you know, he's more than a little bit nervous. This has never happened to him before. He's not sure why he's there. But remember, so far as he's concerned, he's never met this guy before. Well, the cameras follow him in as he walks into the office, and he waits for the CEO to arrive. And the CEO comes through the doors of the office, and this guy's eyes get about this big, and his jaw drops, because he realized who it was he was complaining to the whole time. He's just standing there frozen because this new coworker he had been laying into turned out to be his boss. Man, I can't imagine. But I would suppose that's a whole lot like how Joseph's brothers felt in our text for today, don't you think? In fact, I bet they had it even worse. I mean, look what they've done to Joseph. First, they intend on letting him die at the bottom of a well. But they decide they can make some money off of him by selling him as a slave to Egypt. Great idea. That's just a little bit worse than chewing out your own CEO. So this is their undercover boss moment. Joseph's brothers are having their, uh-oh, we just found out who we're dealing with moment here. Boy, are they going to get it. Can you just imagine coming face to face with someone you had plotted to kill? These guys are looking at the man that they tried to kill, and who they tried to sell, or who they did sell as a slave. No wonder they're speechless. There's no defense for these actions. There's no defending their actions. And there's no way that they can get out of this court alive. Their brother has been raised up into a position so powerful, they say that he's equivalent with Pharaoh. Joseph's got guards at his beck and call who can come in right now and put his brothers to death. No questions asked. And so we all know what should happen next. Because if this were a TV show, or if this were a movie, or if this were the Busted Shovel Biker Bar, we know what's going to happen. We can stop right at verse 3. This guy's going to get revenge on the bad guys. That's the way the world works. See, the story has gone on long enough. He's been toying with his brothers before, but now's the time to get down to business. And as they're standing there so terrified that they can't even speak, don't you just find yourself thinking, yeah, give it to him, Joseph. Give these guys what they really deserve. And see, if this were the Busted Shovel, or if this were a movie, or if this were TV, that's exactly what Joseph would have done. He'd have gotten the payback for all the suffering his brothers wanted to put him through. Because that's exactly what our human nature roots for. Pay back someone who has wronged you. Preferably in a worse way, so that they learn their lesson. But something different happens. Something different happens. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now don't be distressed, and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you." So at this point, everything in our sinful nature is just screaming at Joseph, saying, "Joseph, what are you doing? You've got these guys right where you want them. Give it to them." Yeah, our sinful nature hates the way that Joseph is treating his brothers. It's not right to let someone walk all over you and then just forgive them. It's not right to let someone treat you badly and then do nothing about it. It's just not right to just forgive someone who has hurt you. And yet, do you remember how I said earlier that through this Joseph story, we are seeing exactly how it is God deals with his people? Joseph's brothers deserve the worst possible punishment he could have handed out. So do you. So do I. If you were to take a good hard look at what it is that God expects of you, you're going to find out that you're right on par with Joseph's brothers. Oh, well. You're thinking maybe, "Oh, come on now, Jeremy. It's going a bit far, isn't it? I've never tried to kill my brother or sell him into slavery." No, I'm sure you haven't. In fact, I'd be surprised if you did. But who here hasn't fought with their brother or sister? Who hasn't had an argument with their parents? Who hasn't been angry with their kids and said the wrong thing? Who hasn't fought with their spouse? Well, if you're not married, you get a pass on that one. But don't kid yourself into thinking that you're any better than Joseph's brothers. Because we all have disobeyed our parents. We have all at one time or another hated a sibling or a child or a spouse or a neighbor, even if it were just for a brief moment. And all these things are sins. All of these things deserve punishment by God. Anytime there's anything but harmony and cooperation within a family, you're going against God's will for you. And you deserve punishment. And when God reveals himself and he opens up scripture to you, you immediately realize just how much trouble you're in. If you've not seen Christ in the scriptures and been rendered speechless, terrified by the depth of your own sin, just like Joseph's brothers, then you need to go back and discover who Christ really is and how you've wronged him. Because that's the only way you're going to realize just how much you need God's forgiveness. So let's go to that, back to that undercover boss episode. You've got this poor store manager who berated the CEO and told him how lousy his company is. He's just trembling, terrified, speechless before his boss. And the moment his boss sees his face, he says to him, no, you're not here to be fired. Don't worry. Come over here and have a seat. I want to talk to you a little more about your thoughts for this company. I offer you an opportunity that I hope you'll take up. So again, look at Joseph's response to his brothers after he's revealed himself to them. After they're terrified and they're speechless, he says, "Come close to me. I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. Now, don't be distressed, don't be angry, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you." Now, Joseph doesn't beat around the bush. He tells his brothers exactly what it is that they've done wrong. "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into slavery into Egypt." And Joseph identifies the exact thing that his brothers did that makes them deserving of punishment. And it's very important for us to realize that Joseph doesn't make any excuses for his brothers. He doesn't say to them, "Well, it's not such a bad thing you did. I understand. Anyone else in your place would have done the same thing." No. Joseph identifies exactly what they did wrong and then offers immediate, unconditional forgiveness. "Do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here." See, what Joseph is telling his brothers is that despite the wrong that they've done, he's telling them not to be distressed, not to be angry with themselves. Do not be distressed because Joseph has completely forgiven them and that their sin will no longer be held against them. And what is Joseph's reason for this kind of forgiveness? "Because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you." You see, Joseph and his brothers, they're all children of that promise God made long ago to Abraham, that they would become a great nation, and that through them, through their seed, through Abraham's seed, all nations would be blessed. Joseph believed in that promise, and he trusted God implicitly to make good on that promise, to preserve and to protect his children until the Christ would come. And that's in the next part of what Joseph Stirring is telling us about how God deals with his people. We already know that when Christ reveals himself to us, we ought to be terrified of the judgment we deserve for sin, for those things we've done against God. But after those sins are brought to light, forgiveness immediately follows. The only one who fully knows the depth of our sin is the only one who has the ability to offer forgiveness for them. Just like Joseph's brothers, we have nothing to offer in defense of our sins. Nothing. We cannot endure the punishment we deserve, and we can't pay the debt we owe to God. But we can accept the forgiveness that Christ offers us. We can hear and believe Christ when, after he lists our sins, he says, "Do not be distressed, because it was Christ who satisfied the punishment we deserve." It is Christ who ensures that our sins will never again be held against us. And what's more, we can hear and believe Christ when he says, "Do not be angry with yourselves for sending me to the cross because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. It is God's will to save lives. Because the wages of sin are death, and an eternal death in hell, separated completely from God. Because of that, God has sent Christ ahead of you to save your life. It is God's will that Christ would take your punishment on your behalf and pay your debt for you. It is God's will that instead of death, forgiveness and life would be offered to you. If only you would hear and believe his words. Do you believe his words? When Christ reveals himself to you, do you believe that you are the sinner he says you are? When Christ offers forgiveness, do you believe that you no longer need to be distressed and angry with yourself for your past sins? It's my deepest hope that you do. Because the alternative doesn't look so good, believe me. Just imagine if Joseph's brothers didn't believe Joseph when he spoke those words. You know, there's all kinds of things they could have said out of unbelief. They could have said, oh no, that wasn't us. You got to be thinking of someone else. Oh, besides, it's not our fault anyway. It was our upbringing that made us do this great sin. Oh, and really, you deserved what we did to you, since you were so mean to us. You're only saying it's okay so that you can earn our trust and kill us later. Those are all words that his brothers could have spoken out of unbelief. Those are words of unbelief, and right there the conversation would be over. Their fate would be sealed. And the best that could happen is that they return to Jacob empty-handed. They starve to death. The famine of their souls and the famine of the land would bring certain death to Joseph's brothers. But that's not what happens. Joseph's brothers believe him, and they receive his forgiveness and all the best that Egypt has to offer. You too, because of faith, receive God's forgiveness for all your sins because of what his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, did on that cross. So, back to our 7-Eleven store manager. He has the CEO reveal himself to him. He's been scared out of his wits. And he's been forgiven for the things that he said to the CEO. And for those of you who are old enough to remember Paul Harvey, this is the part where he would say, and now the rest of the story. Once the CEO gets his manager set down and calmed down, he lays before him the opportunity he has for him. He tells the manager that he's noticed that he has a remarkably good grasp on what customers expect of the company and how it is that company can be run well. He offers the manager 2 years in their corporate training program, free of charge, paying him while he attends school. And he tells them that upon graduation, he'll be guaranteed a job in the corporate headquarters. And so as if not getting fired wasn't enough, now the CEO wants to train him and put him to good use for the corporation. And likewise, the remainder of this chapter talks about how Joseph sent his brothers back to give the good news to their father and bring him to Egypt. He freely gives them everything they need to safely go on that journey. And he promises them everything that they need when they return, saying the best of Egypt will be yours. This is the last part of what Joseph's story is telling us about God and how he deals with his people. As if forgiveness for your sins wasn't enough, you receive all the best that the kingdom has to offer. Not only is he concerned with preserving life, but he's concerned with providing for those he has saved. If all we received through Christ was God's forgiveness, that would be more than enough. More than we deserve.
But our gracious God supplies us with so much more. We are given the promise of the Holy Spirit. And just like the brothers receive supplies for their journey, the Holy Spirit provides us with all our needs as we go on our Christian journey. And what is that journey? Well, just like the brothers were sent to bring their father back to Egypt, we were given a commission to go. Go and gather others who can journey with us toward the kingdom of God. And all the supplies we receive for the journey, the word of God, the fruit of the Spirit, various gifts and talents and abilities, a faith that perseveres, all of these gifts are given to us so that we would lack nothing as we travel through the Christian life. Each and every one of you here today, if you have believed Christ's words and you receive the forgiveness he promises through his broken body and shed blood, you have been so well equipped for your journey that you cannot possibly falter along the way. Do you believe this? Will you follow me and Joseph's brothers and Jesus' apostles and your elders and your Christian brothers and sisters as we go on this journey together? Will you trust that you've been fully equipped to go on this journey? I hope so. Let us pray. Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise your name for your word to us this morning. Thank you that you've revealed to us how it is that you relate to us. You've revealed to us just what you have done for us through the story of Joseph, that we deserve all the punishment that you can hand out. And yet, because of the work of your Son, there is forgiveness and everlasting life. Thank you for that. And thank you for the commission you've given us to go and gather. Gather more disciples for your kingdom. Lord, we trust in the work you are doing to equip us for that task. And just pray that we are faithful in carrying it out. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.